praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. We're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find out more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, we hope you enjoy today's program.
Jude charged the believers in verses 3 and 4 of his epistle to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who of old have been written of beforehand for this judgment, ungodly men, perverting the grace of our God into licentiousness and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. This is Matt Miller with Bob Danker. Welcome back, Bob.
It's good to be with you again, Matt. We have this book called Jude, a very short book, but quite an important one. In the beginning of this book, as you read, Matt, Jude charges the believers to earnestly contend for the faith. When we speak of the faith here, we don't mean our own faith in Christ. We mean the very things that we believe in, which are the contents of the teaching of the New Testament. We need to contend for these things because certain men have crept in among the believers. And these men are the apostates. These men are the ones who have turned away from the genuine faith of the New Testament, and they are teaching something against the New Testament Christian faith, and they are living a life, here it says licentiousness, a life of fleshly lusts, and they even go as far as to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. These men mentioned by Jude here, obviously they are a great negative influence on the believers. So the believers have to fight. They have to contend to remain in the genuine Christian faith.
Well, Bob, today is our second program from this short book of Jude, and we're going to cover in today's program verses 8 through 19. So I'd like to start out the program and just read verses 8 through 10, and then we'll go to Witness Lee. Nevertheless, in like manner, these dreamers also defile the flesh and despise lordship and revile dignities. But Michael, the archangel, when he contended with the devil and disputed concerning the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a reviling judgment against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these revile the things that they do not know, and the things that they understand naturally, like animals without reason. In these they are being corrupted. Here's Witness Lee.
Now, let's come to message 2 of Jude from verse 8. He begins to show us, like Peter did, all the evils of the apostates. Then he also show us their punishment under God's judgment. All the evils of the apostates will be punished and judged by God. According to what I have seen through the years, all the people who would deny the Lord Jesus, who would even not believe the Holy Word, persons like these, no doubt, they just give up the consciousness of their conscience. Paul says their conscience has been seared. Their conscience doesn't work, doesn't function. So they became very, very not only loose, but immoral. This kind of person, they would do anything. So once a person's conscience is seared, We all know this. No protection, no guard. So no doubt these apostates, they defile the flesh and despise lordship and revile dignities because they don't care for God's authority. To them, it is altogether a lawless matter. Jude says the same thing as Peter did. These dreamers are as animals without reason.
Bob, these kind of persons who gave up the consciousness of their conscience are, in Peter and Jude's words, they both use this phrase, that they're like animals without reason. I think this is the heart of what Jude is talking about in this portion of the word, and so we need to develop it before we go on to verse 11 and see the fruit of this seared conscience.
Yes, in this section, Witness Lee mentions especially the conscience of man. We all know that man is a higher being than the animals. What makes man higher than the animals? Many people think that it's simply man's higher intellect, that man is a higher understanding than the animals do. But there's more to man than just man's mind with its intellectual capacity. God created man with something marvelous that the animals do not have, and this wonderful thing is man's human spirit. Man has a spirit. As Job said in chapter 32, verse 8, there is a spirit in man. So man's spirit gives man a higher sense, especially of moral things. It gives man a moral consciousness. Man's spirit includes man's conscience, and man's conscience functions within man to either condemn what is wrong or justify what is right. So when a person contemplates taking a certain action or doing something, he reasons in his mind about it, then he may even make a decision that he's going to take a certain course of action, but something deep within him in his spirit will protest. That's his conscience telling him, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. That's immoral. That's unrighteous. This is what makes man different from the animals. But these apostates here in the book of Jude, Jude tells his readers that these people are like animals without reason. They do things by instinct. This is how the animals live. They live in an instinctive way. They respond and react to situations instinctively, and they understand and they interact with their environment through instinct. But man is higher than the animals. He has not only a higher capacity in his mentality, but he has a spirit with a conscience, and he has the ability to discern morally what is right and what is wrong. But the apostates, they have given up their conscience. And their conscience, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, is like human flesh that has been seared with a hot iron. Eventually, we all know that if part of our skin is burned, it may heal over, but that part of our skin loses its consciousness. It loses its ability to feel. So man's conscience can be like that, something seared with a hot iron. And once the conscience of man becomes seared so that it no longer has any sensitive feeling, then man loses the safeguard and the protection against all kinds of evil things. And it's possible for men to live like animals, just living by a certain kind of instinct, a lower sense, because their higher sense is no longer functioning.
Reminds me of the verse in Ephesians, Bob, that says God gave them up past feeling. They were past the feeling. It's like the description you gave in Timothy of our conscience being seared like with a hot iron to where we lose the feeling in our skin. Our conscience, when we lose the sensation in our conscience, we lose the feeling. It's a very dangerous thing. And even Jude refers here to the stories of old. These ungodly men were written of beforehand. So we're going to go now in the next section with Witness Lee and see what was written of beforehand. And I'll read verse 11 first. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have rushed out in the error of Balaam for reward and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. A lot of sobering words here, Bob. Let's go on to Witness Lee, and then we'll come back and fellowship some more.
Woe to them, because they have gone in the way of Cain and plural themselves in the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Three cases: Cain, Balaam, and Korah. The way of Cain is the way of serving God religiously after one's own will, rejecting heretically the redemption by blood, and according to the flesh, envying God's true people because of their faithful testimony to God. This is exactly what happened with Cain toward his brother Abel. In this concern, today's situation and condition among so many Christians isn't the same. They serve God religiously, but after their own will. Right? We like this way, we like that way. But the Bible is only one. And God's way is unique. You read Genesis 4, you could see Abel was a true child of God. His testimony was accepted by God. But Cain envied that to such an extent, even he killed his brother. Well, this has been all the way happening down through these 19 centuries. The accepted ones by God always suffered of those who serve God religiously according to their own will. Well, this is the way of Cain. Now, what was the error of Balaam? Teaching wrong doctrine for reward. Teaching wrong doctrine for what? For gain. And for unrighteous gain. Well, knowing it is contrary to truth and against the people of God. Balaam knew what he taught was for gain. And it was against God's truth and also against God's people. And what is the rebellion of Korah? Rebellion against God's deputy authority in his government and words spoken by his deputy, like Moses. No doubt Moses by that time was God's deputy in authority and deputy in speaking. But Korah and his group, the 250, all rebelled against Moses. What was the punishment? The earth opened them out. They all got swallowed by the earth. That was serious. That was really serious.
Actually, Bob, all three of these examples are serious. Let's talk a little bit about each one and what we can learn from these Old Testament examples before we go back and have a positive conclusion to the life study today.
Well, you know, here Jude uses three negative examples in the Old Testament to illustrate what the apostates are doing and how they are conducting themselves. The first example he uses is Cain, and he mentions the way of Cain. What is Cain's way? Well, we all know that in the Old Testament in Genesis, Cain presented an offering to God of the fruit of the earth, the fruit of the ground, the vegetable life, whereas Abel, his brother, presented an offering of the animal life that had been slain with the shedding of blood. God accepted Abel's offering because it was according to God's revealed way. So Abel served God and worshiped God according to God's revelation, not according to his own concept and opinion. But Cain served God in the way of his own concept and opinion and rejected God's revealed way. Because Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was rejected, of course, Cain became jealous of Abel and eventually murdered him. This is the way of Cain, serving God in your own way, rejecting God's unique way, which is revealed and ordained by God, and eventually becoming jealous of those who are faithful to God. This is repeated throughout history in Christianity. Many people serve God religiously, but they serve God according to their own will and their own way, not according to God's will and God's way. So this is the way of Cain. Then he mentions Balaam, who was a Gentile prophet. And he says, they rush headlong into the error of Balaam. What did Balaam do? Well, he was a Gentile prophet who was hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse Israel. And he attempted to do that three times, but eventually his curse was turned into a blessing by God. Well, instead of accepting God's blessing on Israel and being faithful to God, Balaam, it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, it says that he taught Balak to put a stumbling block in front of Israel by leading Israel into fornication and idolatry. So although Balaam, who was a genuine Gentile prophet, knew what the truth was, and he knew that God wanted to bless his people and use Israel to fulfill his purpose, he deliberately taught something against the truth. What was his motive for teaching something against the truth? It was money. He was hired by Balak, and he loved the wages of unrighteousness. So instead of cooperating with God and being one with God, he taught Balak a heretical teaching, which was to lead God's chosen people to commit adultery and idolatry. This is a serious thing. If we know the truth, we should teach the truth. We should not teach something other than the truth in order to have some kind of gain, material gain. That's what Balaam did. And this is the error of Balaam.
And many people today are still under that influence of Balaam, that they would teach according to what would profit them materially instead of what they really know the truth is.
This is very serious, Matt. This is to be unfaithful to God and to God's truth. But we should never do this. We should always be faithful to the truth, even if people oppose us and criticize us. Paul said to Timothy, those who want to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. There's a price to pay to teach the truth and to live according to the truth. Probably you won't become rich if you teach the truth. But Balaam, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. So he taught against the truth and caused great damage to the children of Israel. And then the last example is that of Korah and his company in the book of Numbers, how they rebelled against Moses, who was God's deputy authority on the earth. And he was God's spokesman. Whatever Moses spoke was God's word. Moses didn't have any authority of his own, and he didn't speak his own words. Everything Moses had was from God. But these rebels rebelled against Moses. Actually, they rebelled against God. And there was a certain judgment upon them, as we all remember. What was the judgment? The earth opened up and swallowed them up. So Jude here, in describing the evils of the apostates, uses these three extremely negative examples in the Old Testament.
Bob, that's really a help to see the black background. I think for any painter, they have a background first, a black background, and then they paint the picture, the beautiful picture. Jude's giving us a black background. Let's see some more of the black background as we conclude, and we'll try to give a view of God's economy in a positive way to conclude the message. Let's go on. I'll read verse 19, which is the last verse we'll cover today. These are those who make divisions, soulish, having no spirit. Let's return to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
These are those who make divisions, soulish, not having spirit. You may ask, do they really not have a spirit? Are they only of two parts, soul and body, without the inward part, soul? It doesn't refer, according to the context, it doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit. Surely it refers to the human spirit, not the Spirit of God. The apostates are devoid of spirit. They have not indeed ceased to have a spirit. They have a spirit as a part of their own tripartite nature. But they have ceased to possess it in any worthy sense. It is degraded beneath and under the power of the soul, the person life, so as to have no real vitality of its own. This is the word quoted from Dean Alford's book, the New Testament for the English readers. It doesn't mean they don't have the spirit, actually. It means they have it, but they don't use it. They do not care for the spirit, nor use it. They do not contact God by their spirit in communion with the Spirit of God. Neither do they live and walk in their spirit. They have been drawn downward by their flesh and become fleshy so that they have lost the consciousness of their conscience and become animals without reason.
Well, Bob, this phrase about animals has come back again. They're like animals without reason. That was in verse 10. Now we're talking in verse 19 about having no spirit, about the same thing. This is a very sobering word. It reminds me of Paul's word in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, about this, therefore, I say and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind. It's possible for believers to walk not like a believer, like an animal, like a Gentile, like someone who's not a Christian. This is a very serious warning to us, isn't it?
It really is, Matt. God created us with a human spirit, and in our spirit we have our conscience, as we fellowshipped earlier. And with us believers, we have the Spirit of God. We have God Himself dwelling in our spirit. So what should we do? How should we live our Christian life? Well, we should exercise and use our spirit all the time to contact God who dwells in our spirit and to behave ourselves and conduct ourselves according to our regenerated spirit. This is the highest kind of Christian living, even the highest kind of human living. But sad to say, as you pointed out, Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians, he told the Ephesian believers, don't live like the Gentiles. They walk in the vanity of their mind. They don't exercise their spirit to contact God. It's possible for us believers, if we do not exercise our spirit, to live like the unbelievers. In a sense, we live as if we didn't have a spirit. We do have one. We have a human spirit created by God, and not only created by God, but regenerated by God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But we can live as Christians as if we don't have a spirit. That means we don't use our spirit to contact God and to live and walk according to our spirit. This is, as you said, a very serious warning. This is the real condition of the apostate people. They live as if they don't have a spirit. They deny the Lord. They teach heresy and so forth. We may never go that far, you know, to live like the apostates, but we still need to take this word of warning that we should all the time exercise our spirit to contact the Lord and to walk in and according to our mingled spirit.
And one practical way to exercise your spirit is, as Paul said in the book of Acts, I exercise myself daily to have a conscience void of offense before God and men. That's an example. I hope we can make it tangible and practical for our listeners today as they go away from the program to exercise their conscience, to pray, to call on the Lord, to touch Him, and also to take care of any offense that may be in the conscience. Bob, do you have any final word?
I agree with you absolutely, Matt. We need to take care of our conscience. Our conscience is the most important part of our spirit.
Well, we've run out of time. Thanks for coming in today, Bob.
It's always a pleasure, Matt.
Well, we really hope this program has encouraged you to exercise your spirit, to contact the Lord through prayer, to have a conscience void of offense. And we'd encourage you to also call us. Let us know your response to this program at 1-888-543-3788. On behalf of Bob Danker, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world, before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us, radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.
Where is Jesus Christ today? And does He really care?
But being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen looked intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. The Lord in ascension is usually referred to as sitting at the right hand of God, but Stephen saw him standing there. This indicates that the Lord was greatly concerned for his persecuted one. Scripture, Acts 7, 55 and 56. And commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.